Now, to be fair, unicorns are mentioned in the Bible seven times. Seven times.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're recapturing the magic with Tony Miller. He is back to talk to us about Christian privilege in America. Is it any better? No.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Huzzah!
And Nick Glover.
Huzzah.
And we are here in the luxurious trailer studios with our longtime friend and I think fifth or sixth time guest, Tony Miller.
Possibly seventh.
Yeah.
Exuant. Glorious.
We are recording here this Sunday morning, sixth weekend. We're very excited to have Tony. This is your final weekend here at the MRF or MNRF. Whatever it is.
Yes.
The Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
The festival and not the fairs.
Yes.
Yes, this is my last weekend. I have to go off to another fair because of a calendar overlap.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited to be doing this conversation with you guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Again.
Yes, Tony is joining our illustrious Recapturing the Magic Club because we had technical difficulties with the audio. You could hear it, but it sounded like robots were throwing up now and then. And
yeah,
it was
really, really not,
it was annoying.
Not worth listening to.
Like, do you still have the garbage?
I do. I have it.
We could maybe put it up for Patreon.
We could put it up for Patreon. Any Patreon donor
we
can hear
could.
The garbled one.
We could.
I like
do
that.
It because we all sound really smart. He showed me a small clip.
We're going to try to sound smart again.
Okay.
We're going to do it. I think I got it in me.
I think I could sound smart for a little while.
All right.
I already fucked it up.
So we want to talk to you, Tony. I know you brought this up about, we want to revisit the idea of Christian privilege and what the state of it really in this nation. Is it any better?
The state of Christian privilege is hard and growing strong,
mm-hmm.
At least in the current political climate, obviously. We do have this thing in the Constitution about not any political person not having to take a religious test. But that's pretty much, for practical purposes, been thrown out the window and lit on fire.
Well, they don't have to take, like, a written religious test, but they sure as shit better be a Christian. Otherwise, they get the public will crucify them, as it were.
No, that's a good point. And a very specific type of Christian. They
mm-hmm.
can be evangelical. They can be mainline Protestant. But if they're Catholic... That's still an issue.
Even though we had a Catholic
Mormon.
President in the
60s. Yeah, we had
Mormon.
A Catholic president in the 60s, but they made a big deal about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually was, it made it more difficult for Kennedy to get elected.
Mormon
His opponents used that as a means to campaign against him.
He'll listen to the Pope. Yeah. He'll be listening to a foreign power.
They did that with Mitt Romney, too. They're like,
Mormonism.
Mormons are weird and scary, and we don't like them. And
they're not wrong, by the way.
No Mormons, magic underwear in the White House.
Mormons are weird and scary, but there were lots of other reasons to not like Mitt Romney.
But once again, there's a critic I read a little while ago that said there are two types of mainline Christianity in the United States anymore. There's your general mainline Christianity, then there's your political Christianity.
Yeah.
And that's what we see a lot. That's what gets the most media play.
What's the equivalent of, like, jingoistic for religious reasons?
You can use jingoistic for that. Absolutely.
It's rabid adherence and mouth service and not hearing any outside opinion or dissenting viewpoint. It has to be this way. It has to be my way. Like, this is universal one-way street. Do not pass go.
It would be Talibanistic. How about that?
I
have to say, I feel like that's not just even on the Christian right side, that there's been a lot of this, it's my way or the highway, I have no room for other... I mean, look at politics has been getting more and more polarized, and a lot of that comes from, there's politicians who brag, like their campaigning point is, I will not work with the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
I will do everything I can to stop them at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
I will not work with them, and people are like, yay, I will vote for that. There's been a lot of it and it does seem like it's mostly on the conservative side. It's the Christians, it's the Republicans in this country, it's the... You
can't even say the conservatives, the Christians, because you can't elect anyone on the Democrat side that isn't Christian.
Yeah.
The Democrats have to pander to the Christian demographic the same as everybody else,
mm-hmm.
which is why it's fascinating. And I always talk about the false persecution narrative.
Yeah.
That that Christians follow in this country. I've been having an extensive argument with my brother-in-law.
Oh God, yes,
about,
you have.
About Colin Kaepernick. Because Colin Kaepernick, for those people who listen to our podcast and are not sports fans, this is still important. He is elected not to stand for the national anthem. Mm-hmm. Originally, he sat. Now he takes a knee because everybody was somehow believes that the national anthem, if you don't stand for the national anthem, you're disrespecting the military. Even though last I checked, I thought the national anthem was for, you know, like fucking all of us. But anyway, the point being that he's taking a knee to honor American soldiers, but won't stand because of the way black people in America are being treated.
Killed, murdered by police.
Yeah.
I mean, and more specifically than, it's more about the
well,
systemic,
but I think even being pulled over for driving while black. I think he's talking, certainly the killed by police is part of it, but it's more than that. And so anyway, Colin Kaepernick is doing this and he has taken a considerable amount of heat from mostly the right.
And a lot of fucking regular people are freaking out about it for no reason.
He is having some support from the left.
And some support. There's been more and more growing support from veterans who are saying, look, he's not being treasonous. He gets to do this. This is why we fought. And the false dichotomy of, a black man in a public arena takes a knee to literally protest something. And then people conflated immediately. Some people conflated immediately to disrespecting the military because that's the go-to,
right?
Because of the militarization of our sports,
and our police and our country.
So
if you say you don't support the troops, it's almost like the biggest insult you can give somebody.
I love. Yeah. Have you seen the? It's like a picture of Black Lives Matter protesters, and it's like white people. Hey, black people, don't protest like that. Protest more peacefully. And then there's a picture of Kaepernick taking a knee, and he goes, "No, not like that."
Yeah,
that's disrespectful. Yeah. That's disrespectful. Horrible.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's fucking white privilege. It is this amazing catch 22 that holy shit, black people have been talking about now for months. It's like it doesn't matter how we protest. You're going to have a problem with it anyway. You're going to tell us to sit down and shut up and be happy for what we have. So anyway, getting back to the Christian privilege part of this is my brother-in-law has posted a few memes about how everybody was on. Like, basically, liberals were going after Tim Tebow for Tebowing, which was when he would score, he would take a knee to honor God.
And, like, because he's super, he do, like, a kiss? Like,
I don't know. He's super freaking Christian, dude. So he would take a knee and honor God, and he would take a knee in prayer, I think. Anyway, and then they said, well, look, everybody was, all you people thought Tim Tebow was disgusting for doing this, and then you're totally supportive of Colin Kaepernick. And he posts these, and I'm like, all right, this isn't accurate. This is a meme about Christian privilege, because Christians feel, because some people made fun of, not persecuted, but made fun of Tebow for what he did, he was under attack. And because some, not all, not anywhere near all, but some of those same people, when they see Kaepernick taking a knee, they go, yeah, he has every right to do that, and I support it. And then you're going, well, look at this. The Christian doesn't get to do what he wants, even though he totally could do what he wants. And football is filled with Christian symbolism of all kinds. There are tons of receivers that when they score touchdowns, the first thing they do is they point to the sky to say, God gave me this touchdown, like God gives a shit about football. At the end of every football game, I used to have season tickets to the Vikings, and at the end of every football game, there is a prayer circle where members of both teams kneel in a circle in the middle of the field and give thanks to God for that football game. And I don't begrudge any of those people their expressions of their religion. But if you want to tell me that Christians are being persecuted because a few people made fun of Tim Tebow's touchdown celebration versus people who are giving death threats and burning Colin Kaepernick's jersey, it's not the same thing.
You don't see many atheists burning Tim Tebow's jersey.
I'm sorry, but a
thought came to me. I would live for the first Satanist football player, so when he gets a touchdown, he just points down and throws a dead animal down. I would love to see
that. What's super funny about this thing that you're this false equivalency that your brother-in-law is making is Tim Tebow taking it, being allowed by the NFL to take a knee and do that after he scores a touchdown is actually an example of Christian privilege, because that was happening around the same time that they were sending out fines and suspending players for showboating and for doing end zone dances and for doing touchdown celebrations were outlawed.
You can only celebrate if it's religious.
So now you can take a knee or point to the sky, and that's okay because God. But you can't do a little groove. That's showboating.
You can't say yay me for my athletic triumph.
Even though that was one of my favorite things about football, the crazy touchdown celebration.
So that's what's amazing to me is that your brother, in his brother-in-law inability to see Christian privilege, is using an example of Christian privilege to show that Christian privilege is still very much alive.
You mentioned burning shirts, and I mentioned it to him. You don't see anybody burning Tim Tebow's shirt, and so he went out onto YouTube and he found one example of somebody burning Tim Tebow's shirt, and I watched the video because he had not, and I watched the video, and it turns out it was after the Denver Broncos lost to the New England Patriots in the playoffs, where Tim Tebow had been the quarterback, and they were Denver Bronco fans who were pissed off because Tebow had played a bad game. So they burned his jersey.
It had nothing to do with Tebow.
So I'm curious. Nothing. Aren't there? There are definitely Muslim football players. And have we ever seen a Muslim bow down to Mecca?
They don't bow down to Mecca, but I bet they would do this same pointing up thing because it's still a law. Okay. And it's still. They haven't done, because that would be considered showboating. I bet.
Right. I'd like to step away from football a little bit.
Although, please, God.
But it's national theater, and in a theater situation, nuance matters.
It does.
And, Kaepernick taking a knee as opposed to a seat, that little thing is like, oh, now he's honoring the veterans. I mean, this stuff plays out very quickly, especially in the modern arena of media. But the Christian privilege that is constantly ongoing, we talked about politics, we talked about sports, we talked about literally every day that we drive through. My next stop is the North Carolina Renaissance Festival in the Bible Belt. And North Carolina passed the HB2 thing where, we have to check your genitals before you pee because that's correct to
Gross.
Me. And I made that rhyme on purpose. Sorry.
Nice.
But I have a Christian fish on the back of my truck. It came with the truck. I was going to put a little Darwin legs on it, just to, with the little cross, to get people to think. I drive through the Bible Belt on a regular occasion, and it's replete down there. It's very in your face, because I've had people come out to me from a restaurant going, oh, can I talk to you about your walk with Jesus? And at that point, I will, because...
Sure, you've walked with Jesus a little while.
Because I'm not going to say, no, I'm an atheist in the South. That should say something. I'm a grown-ass. I have all the privilege. I am a grown-ass, cisgendered, white male.
A strong and tall, and you know how to defend yourself. It's not like you have a physical fear.
Exactly, for the most part.
Yeah.
But in a diner, I'm not going to say, no, I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
I don't need that hassle. And think about that. Think about that. I don't need the hassle of having to defend my atheism in a regular, everyday encounter.
Whereas if you went up to someone and said, can I talk to you about whether or not there's a God? And they'd say, no, I'm a Christian. They would immediately say, I'm a Christian. Even if they were in, I don't know, what's a den of atheism?
Science museum.
Yeah, they're in a science museum.
Austin, Texas.
Yeah, sure. They're in Austin. They're in a science museum. And you say to them, I would like to talk to you about, there not being a God. They would immediately jump. They would feel comfortable, nay, imperated to say, no, I'm a Christian. That's important. And then they would talk to you about theirs.
Well, they can't hide their bushel their light under a bushel anymore. They have to let it shine for everyone to see.
And that's Christian privilege. The fact that Christians feel that they are under attack in this country when I can't drive further than a mile from almost any point without seeing a church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A Christian church.
Yeah, a Christian church, not a Jewish temple, not a Muslim.
Not unless you get into bigger cities. Then they're unusual, because then you see a synagogue or you see a mosque. And go, oh, that's unusual. There's a mosque. Mm-hmm. That should tell you something.
I live across the street from two churches. Two churches are across the street from my house.
Where the mega church is, where the Churchstrosity is, there's a church across the street from that. And then there's another church about 3/4 mile down from there. Mm-hmm. And then down from there, another mile, there's another church. And then if you take a left and go another mile, there's a church. And this is just for Eden Prairie. Which, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the Churchstrosity alone could probably service all of Eden Prairie's Christian community just by seat capacity. But it's, yeah. It's,
and we've talked before about self-censorship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we live in a culture where we swim, where there's so many advantages, and, you know, we can talk probably a whole program just on clergy coming out being political, which I wanted to get rid of tax-exempt status for churches because for that's sure. billions of dollars that the economy mm-hmm. does not get, that gets subsumed by these charlatans. And I'm going to say that not there's lots of good people, well-meaning people who are in churches and who are pastors.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're the ones who hit the media and can play it very well, besides, you know, vomitorious, cheese-faced demon person named Trump. But, you know, here's...
Vomitorious, cheese-faced demon person.
Yeah.
But I think they should put that on his poster. But anyway, go on.
But when we talk about Trump, we have evangelical leaders. Yeah, I just cracked up your son. we have evangelical leaders who come out and do prayer, laying of hands on Trump. I'm just sitting here going, you guys are very funny writers. I love your stuff. You can't make this stuff up. Yeah. You can't make up that someone like Trump would have evangelical leaders of... You know, laying their hands and promoting that he's the true Christian that we need to get into office. And I was like, wow, they have so much become the Sadducees and Pharisees of their own faith.
Hillary is a church-going Baptist who's never, ever wavered from... I mean, and it's like, she didn't cheat on her husband. If you want to be all like, oh, she's a den of sin or whatever, like, she is the victim here of all that.
But everybody blames her.
But people blame her because... Yeah. I don't want to say because she's a woman, because I don't think it's because she's a woman. I think that...
But also...
But I think that when you get cheated on, regardless of your gender, mm-hmm. people often blame you. They want to know why you couldn't keep your spouse happy. Yeah. Why did your spouse feel they had to go outside of their marriage for sex?
Yeah.
And for all we know, that was an arrangement they had that they were both cool with within the bounds of their marriage. Mm-hmm. And so that's the other thing that I always got so pissed off about with people, like, casting aspersions on her for that. And, like maybe she wasn't interested. You don't know what their deal was, but, like...
Or maybe I don't give a shit what happens.
But the fact that she is Christian. Mm-hmm. She is a church-going person, but they act like Trump, who only believes in himself... I mean, that's it. I don't even think he loves his wife.
I doubt a narcissist that brand.
I remember reading an article round about the time Clinton was up for re-election. And the article was talking about how the Reagans had been perceived as this really religious, deeply devout couple. Mm-hmm. And the Clintons, by contrast, were perceived as a-religious. And...
He played saxophone and smoked pot once.
Yeah,
you can't be a Christian if you do
this. It pointed out that the Reagans, in the time they were in the office, and in the time they were in the White House, went to church an average of 3 to 5 times a year, usually only for holidays. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Clintons, with almost no exceptions, went to church every Sunday.
They had a home church that they were well known at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
not that I find that to be.
It's like that's not. I'm not saying. Well, wow, that makes it great. It's just it's interesting mm-hmm. that the perception. And again, this is kind of a weird Christian privilege thing. There's this perception: the Republicans are devout, the Democrats are not. So, the far right Christians embrace Trump. Because he's the representative of the Republicans, even though I can't believe for a second that Trump is actually religious, because that would require him to believe in something more powerful.
Right, like Nick just said,
So back to Christian privilege, I feel like when we watched God's Not Dead 2, it's a good example of what I think we're all kind of pointing at the feeling that if Christians don't feel persecuted, if Christians don't feel like their privilege is in danger. Is it built into their faith that, like, we were martyrs, we were eaten by lions, we were like the underground cult. Do they need to feel persecuted? Is that a part of their identity?
They said that in God's Not Dead too. It was like, when everyone's against you, that's when you're closest to me. It was something like that, wasn't it? Like, there was some Bible verse that was like, when you're being cast out and when the world is hating you, that's truly when you're closest to God. So that is...
Is it built in? Absolutely. Because it's a great authoritarian model of power and control. Mm-hmm. Because if you feel persecuted, that means you're doing it right.
Oh, but Hitler, I mean, that's...
Be of the world, right. But not in it. Yeah. We are separate. We are separate because mm-hmm. we know the true faith. We are separate because when the apocalypse happens, the Book of Revelation, all the seals mm-hmm. be opened, we are those special people who will go to heaven and everyone else gets to suffer because we're special because it's a fucking loving religion. Irony. I can't do the emojis here, but that was irony. It's built into it. So that whole perception of victimization has been really... Boy, that button has been mashed down now for years, especially with Barack Obama, a card-carrying Christian mm-hmm. who's been going to church pretty much every Sunday. And, but yeah, they're being under attack because their power has been slipping. We see the rise of the nuns. We see the no ones.
The fall of the Ark Encounter, which is going yes. really poorly, right?
Thank you for bringing that
yes.
up. It is sinking like a rock.
I wonder if Ken Ham, that's who's doing it, right? Yep. I wonder if yeah. Ken Ham feels that he's like Job and his Ark Encounter is him being tested and that he's now closer to Jesus and God because no one's coming to his goddamn shit show of an entertainment factory.
I think it's more Machiavellian than that, actually. Oh? I think if this goes under, it's a great tax write-off because Ken mm-hmm. Ham has done nothing but set up religious theme parks to fleece evangelicals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Time for five questions? How about that?
It is pretty much time for five questions. The one other piece of Christian privilege I just felt I needed to mention before we do our five questions, super quick, is just the idea that every Sunday morning you can watch a religious television show with people asking you for money.
That's true.
And they get that time for free because it is considered public service time that the networks must provide. They must provide a certain amount of free public service television.
I want a site on that. We should look that up because I can't. I don't.
They are required to do public service time. I know that's
right,
true. That's an FCC thing because it's the public's airwaves.
Yep. Right, own that. Mm-hmm.
That's why like town hall meetings and city council and that all that shit.
Do you think are you saying they give preference
I'm
to religious?
I'm pretty sure they get that. Well, they get the airtime.
They're tax exempt organizations.
Sure.
So I mean, yeah, that
would
count as a donation.
And it's Sunday.
I would like
it.
Yeah,
I'm going to look it up.
Thank you. Oh, look, we're looking for evidence.
Actually, since I'm hosting, can I ask a few more questions that I had planned?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
And also, I'm watching the time, and we're not ready yet. So
that's my fault.
No, it's fine. I'm just wondering, do you think that this is ever going to change, and how long do you think it'll be?
Yes.
Like, will we see the lack of Christian privilege in this country in our lifetime?
The complete lack? No. I think, like any other virus that's infected the host body, I think mm-hmm. it's going to take a long time and there will be dormant cells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
really booger that little
like
analogy.
Another generation? Two generations?
I think after this election, mm-hmm. I'm really hoping we start getting away from the hysteria of the polarization that you remarked on first. And once we start seeing that, I think once we start seeing our actual political leaders, and that makes me throw up in my mouth a little just saying that, start working together a little bit more, this hysteria over the massive Christian privilege that's been shoved in our face will recede. Will it go away in our lifetime? Man, that is an excellent question, Molly.
Yeah.
I just have to go back with, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think I can predict that.
I don't think that Christian privilege or Christian majority, even if it's not a bodily majority, we could say like a media majority, a majority in politics, that sort of thing. I don't think that privileged presence of Christianity will disappear as long as the entity that is the United States of America as it exists now exists.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe 100 years from now, if our government changes and it's a different country or something like that, or a different system, maybe then. But I don't think the way things exist now, I really don't think it would change.
I think the fall of the Duggar family is helping, is one of those things that we're going to see a lot more and more, because they not only did the one kid go to prison for, you know, like molestation and stuff, but like they got divorced, the Duggars now. Like their whole 19 kids and counting, like Christian family multiplying, bringing the joy of Jesus to everyone.
No,
like,
I don't think he went to prison.
He didn't go to prison.
In fact, he tried to get in on one of his sister's new realities.
Okay, well, they split up.
Right.
So, I mean, like, that's a huge deal. And I think this whole be fruitful and multiply thing, I think, is going to start paring down as people are more environmentally conscious. So that might mean that we have fewer of the tribes of super devout evangelical homeschooled kids who don't, who then, you know, go out and just keep spreading that around. But I agree. I think it's probably going to be two or three generations at least before we start to see anything that we could call the dearth of Christian privilege.
I'm going to throw out a mea culpa. I did look it up. It's not free for televangelists. They do have to pay for their airtime.
Okay.
I was under the impression that...
Thank God, though. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, get that.
I know we don't have time for this. It'd be interesting to know if they ever pay taxes on all their stuff.
So, well, no, sure
I doubt
sure
that.
Not,
but
yeah.
Can't
so, yes, five questions time. Tony, you have been on our show a bunch of times. You've already answered our new five questions, right? So... Mm-hmm. You're going to ask us five questions? What did we do last time?
Last time I asked the five questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can revisit those if you want.
We might as well. Let's revisit them. Maybe we have had more time to think about it.
Except, yeah, please.
Except we literally have not.
I don't even remember.
I don't know what they were.
So the first thing is, what is your favorite scientific thing in the last year?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to jump out this so you guys can remember. Right. But mine is Vantablack 2. And Vantablack is an array of carbon tubes through a very complex process that absorbs more light. It absorbs so much light that they can't actually measure how much light they absorb. The first Vantablack absorbed 99.96%. And for the listeners, a black chalkboard absorbs 7% of light. A black asphalt, a really black asphalt, absorbs 4% of light. Vantablack absorbed 99.965%. You should look it up on YouTube. It's like looking at a flat black opening to a black hole. It's
crazy.
Fabulous. And I bring that up because my other question will be answered. So, yes. Tim, how about you?
Well, I still am super excited about the fact that we got a probe all the way out to Pluto.
Yeah.
But I recently watched a video, and I don't know how good the science on this is, but it's a video of a theoretical spaceship that can travel from Earth, that can actually bend space so it can travel from Earth to Alpha Centauri in 2 weeks.
Right.
And the one thing that always has infuriated me about loving science is the fact that science makes faster than light travel impossible. So anything that's out there that makes it possible that faster than light travel could exist excites me a lot.
Tim, I'm sorry because I saw the same thing and I saw the futuristic model of it, and it's lovely. There's no science behind that.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about.
To actually fold space. They're talking about NASA's built a warp drive. It's like, no, they haven't.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but it doesn't matter. I'm still excited about it. Do not harsh my squeeze. Jesus.
Don't confront him with reality.
Was it just last year, 2 years ago, the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge that was going around?
Yeah.
That was the craze. Actually might have cured ALS. Like, they're pretty sure they've cured it. And so that, because of all the money that was raised and because of all the attention that got put on ALS research, they cured a disease because people dumped ice on their heads. And that's that, I think, is one of the most beautiful things about humanity.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
I don't know. I kind of think space stuff is usually more interesting just because that, I feel like that's our future. I mean, the gene replacement treatments that there's currently in human trials for in China and a bunch of other countries for preventing and curing lung cancer is super interesting, and that could be like the end of disease.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean,
in countries that are not America.
Well,
because
if it works and it's safe, I mean, you better believe we'll be doing
it here. Once all the not Americans stop dying, we'll start doing it.
It is actually, that's actually a good example of Christian privilege. The reason we aren't doing that kind of research in America is because of stem cell research.
Yeah.
And the whole reason it's not happening in America is Christian privilege.
But but also, I think the fact that we're going to be sending a probe to Alpha Centauri is the next nearest star, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Or I think like 4. Some.
Yeah, the little postage stamp solar sails probes. Is that the one you're talking about?
They're talking about, you know, it won't be here in any of our lifetimes. Mm-hmm. It won't be there. Maybe humanity will be gone by that time. But they figured out that like in the next 5 or 10 years is the perfect time to send a probe and they can, you know, slingshot it right or whatever, you know, gravity hook thing that they do. Mm. Like when they did Voyager 1 and 2, they were like, holy shit, guys, the window's perfect. We got to do this now. They're saying that, like, we're hitting one of those windows for extra solar.
Just the idea we'd have a probe going to Alpha Centauri that none of us would ever know what it found.
It's a human legacy thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's you know, it's looking beyond ourselves. It's like the least egocentric thing ever is to be like, even if this we never get the results from this and it's not a human thing ever, if there's someone else out there, we can just let them know that like there's other life out there.
Like, what the fuck is that up there? Like, yeah, that's neat.
It's culture changing. Yeah.
All right. Second question. What would be your villain name?
Right. And power, right?
And power. Yeah. And here's where I dovetail myself. I would want clothing made out of Antiblack too.
Right.
And then I would call myself the Abyss.
It's so good.
I'm so proud of that, actually. Because just walking through shadow, it would be really dark. And the reason Vantablack 2 is so cool, because you can't see contour or reflection of any kind, so it just looks like a flat hole. Your eyes have a tough time looking at it.
Would you wear, like, the full, like, what's that suit called? With the
ghillie suit or whatever?
The things you wear for, like, Green Man. Like, the...
It's a Japanese name.
It's a Z name. Yeah.
Zentai. I would wear, with my current shape, no, it'd probably be more like drapery, Molly. because they would see the outlines, and I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would do that, and that would be my...
That's awesome. Yeah. I don't remember what I said last time, so I got to think of something new.
I remember vaguely. So I feel like if I was going to go villain, beyond just ethics, and you know, I feel like I'm a good person, well, I'm all right. One of the reasons, like, I feel like I could never be a bad guy is because gay parent, right away someone's gonna be like, oh, see what happens? Gay parent, fucked up kid, went and killed people. Or they'll be like, oh, see, atheist, yep, no God keeping him in line, he went out and killed people, look at that. Like, I just can't be that example ever. They'd be like, oh, atheist podcaster killed a bunch of people. Also, I don't want to kill people, but I never...
You're a villain.
Right. So if I'm a villain, it's going to be, like, all out. Like, I'm going to be, like, I want to be, like, some Doctor Doom level shit. Like, I want to be, like, a villain who just wants to rule the world to make it a better fucking place. And that would mean tearing down some establishment.
Like Dr. Horrible.
And I think that I would probably target government and religious institutions in some way. And I think that it would be awfully terroristy, and it would be bad, and I don't want to talk about it anymore because it makes me uncomfortable. But I'd probably be like a smash the state kind of a villain.
Could you be the excommunicator?
I don't know about a name. I think
Dr. Smash.
Yeah, something destructive sounding, for sure.
James Randarchy.
Just turned the internet off. That was good.
You win. You know, I still don't have a better answer than I came up with before, but I mean, I think about it and I go, as an atheist, I already feel like a villain sometimes simply by speaking what I believe and challenging what other people believe. So I guess my supervillain name would just be the Atheist, and I would just keep telling people when I think they're wrong.
Twirly handlebar mustache, though. Yes, you gotta have one of those.
Well, I'd be a much more melodramatic about it.
There's a stack of Bibles on the train tracks.
I've epistemologically destroyed your religion. I branded an A on your forehead. Okay.
Yeah. I think I would. So I'd probably dress all in gray, and I would just be, like, in the background, just like the, and I would be the observer, because I would just, like, just be in the background watching people's things, and then I would tell on them. Like, that'd be my villain way. Like, I would observe what they do, confirm they do bad things, and either tell the authorities somehow, or take them into my own hands if I thought I could handle it.
You're a narc. You get people in trouble for doing their own on their own merit.
Yeah.
Instead of like harming people directly, you would let them harm themselves.
Because if I'm a villain, if I'm a villain, it's because Nick's dead. So like, I have a lot of time to just be alone and drink. So I'm just gonna be like, just on my own drinking, probably listening to an audiobook and just like thinking about how we need a hard storm to sweep the filth out of this city.
Molly, that was an incredibly romantic thing. That was an incredibly romantic thing you just said.
So everybody, well, remember, it's really important.
Yeah, that was very sweet. Okay.
It's really important that Nick not die because Molly will become a supervillain.
But not like a really good one.
No.
Okay, third question. What are two aspects of your personality or character that you're proud of?
I remember this one. problem solving and troubleshooting. And I think those are two different things.
Yeah.
Troubleshooting, like diagnosing a problem and figuring out what's wrong with a thing, is an incredibly useful skill set in every aspect of my life. Comedy, in IT, like figuring out what's wrong with something or what's broken about something or a process is an undervalued skill. And it's not something that's easily taught. It fits in well with skepticism, because you have to prove every step of where something is or isn't broken. And then the second part of that is finding a solution to that problem. This has been problematic for me sometimes because I'm a fixer. I want to improve things. I want to make things better. And sometimes, like, if Molly's had a hard day or something, she just wants to, like, be heard.
That is not even close to true about me at all.
And sometimes...
That is not even close. I was just going to say how much that's not me.
Not you, but sometimes, like, people just want to
want
to be heard.
Yes.
And Molly's not people.
No.
No, but like, sometimes
people... I am not people.
Sorry, I didn't mean to name you
that specifically. That's other women do that.
Sometimes people just want to be heard or want to complain or want to rant, and they don't want you to be like, well, have you tried? Or how about... Or what if we changed, you know, whatever. And so it's a skill or a trait that I love about myself that I need to, like, use a little selectively sometimes. But I really like to fix, improve, build.
Nice.
Like, yeah. I've been a good engineer.
I'll say the reason I say that is because we talked about this last time.
Yeah, that's right.
I like that about you. That's one of the reasons we work, is I'm not one of those women that just wants to be heard or just needs to be like, I just want to vent my problems. I don't want them fixed. Like, I always want them fixed. They're problems. Why do I want them not fixed? Like, I don't understand that. It's like, the window's broken. I don't want to put any cardboard over it, though. I just want to sit here and be mad that the wind's coming in. What is that? That's dumb. So, like, my things I like about myself are I'm really direct and blunt. Just today this happened where it's like a friend of ours is like, I'm sorry if I made a mess here. Do you want me to clean it up? I'm like, no, it's fine. And he was like, oh, I feel bad. I'm like, don't feel bad. If I wanted you to feel bad about it, you would, trust me. Like, because it's true. Like, people know if I'm mad at them. People know if I'm upset. Like, Nick is never wondering if I'm upset at him. I make it pretty clear because I
often
don't. Yeah. So it's, but like, I think that's a good trait because I don't think a lot of people have that, and especially neurotypical people are more sensitive to nuance and social circumstances. But the other thing I like about myself is I've been told I'm really good at giving advice, and that people respect my opinion and come to me when they need advice on something because of the directness and the ability to just cut through I don't know what the social niceties are here, so I'll just say, like, maybe you need to get a divorce. You know, like, I mean, it sounds like maybe... And that's just, you know, I think that that's something I like about myself, is that I'm for someone who is often told that I seem cold or unfriendly because I'm, you know, kind of insular in a way, like, I am good at advising people on situations just because I can see through things. So, yeah.
Well, I know one of the things that I feel that I do well, and I have to be self-deprecating about it, is I internalize criticism well. I do not take criticism well. I do not accept criticism well. I internalize it well. So after I get the criticism, I sit down and I look at it and I go, all right, this actually makes sense. Yep. How can I fix it? And so I do very well at that. When somebody tells me something I do badly, after I get over the hurt, I usually get to the, all right, well, okay. Now I can do something to make this better. And then the other thing that I just think I do well is I'm very good at coming up with ideas for things.
You are a great idea, man. Absolutely.
It's like, I mean, an example is this year for Fringe, there was a point where me and my regular collaborator were like, well, the thing we were planning on doing, we have run out of time to do. So I guess we just have to give it up if we don't come up with an idea for a show in the next 24 hours. And on the drive home, I came up with an idea for the show, which was a really good show. It was a fun show. It was a fun idea. Mm-hmm. But I just, when somebody's like, well, we need to come up with some wacky thing to do, I usually am pretty good at coming up with how to make it work.
Cool.
So that's the other thing I'll say.
What about you?
Two things. I'm almost insatiably curious. I will, between people, between things, I'm just a very curious person. Second, I'm pretty kind. I try and really work on really being kind. Because I think the world needs more kindness.
I think you are very kind.
Thank you. That's one of my missions in life is to be kind and also help teach women to give physical tools so they can beat the shit out of their attackers.
Which is very kind.
Well, it is. Question four, and I'm going to change this up a little bit. If you could freeze time for 24 hours, what would you do in that time? And I'm going to lay down some strictures on that. Any object you touch, you can manipulate. So you can open doors, you can eat food. But that's it.
Other people?
No. Just you. So I've had time to think about this. I would go to art museums, and no one would interfere with my observing the art. They wouldn't be talking. They wouldn't be on their cell phones. I could just sit and look and experience art. Oh, that would be heaven. And I would drive really fancy cars off of car lots, and I'd probably rob a bank. So that's what I would do.
So you can't manipulate other people.
No.
Well, but you could manipulate things around. I mean, the time is stopped for everybody else, right? You're the only person moving.
For 24 hours. Now, but you can, and this is also something I might do, I might change clothes of random people on the street.
Like, oh, that'd be great.
A woman and a man, change their clothes and just leave it at that.
I would go to a place where there are lots of goats, and I would enjoy being with the goats with no children, trying to also pet the goats, and people being like, kids want to pet the goats. You should probably step back so that someone else can spend time with the goats, because fuck them. I want to be with the goats. I'm sorry, I get it. They're kids. They're making memories, but like, they have a lot more time to be with goats.
You also are making memories.
I also am making memories, and it's unfair that only kids are supposed to be able to go to petting zoos and make memories, and that adults have to move out of the way. Like, fuck you. And also, I would take the goats and probably, like, tie them on a long, like, rope so I could, like, have a... I've always wanted to walk, like, a whole, like, flock of goats around with me. And then we would go look at all the things. And I would eat a lot of food. Mm. I would probably... Because no one would be able to make fancy food for me is the thing. So I'd have to go to places where, like, I guess... food's already made, so yep. I'd probably go to like the Byerly's and take all the fancy pre-made salads that are too expensive for me to ever afford and eat those. And I would, and then me and the goats would drink ciders and watch the sunset, and then I would take the goats back and we would have a nighttime romp playing in the grass.
I think, all right, so one thing I would do that is super lame, but I think it would be just such a luxury. Is I would break into, like, or just walk into whatever, the fanciest, most expensive bed or mattress store with, like, a handful of blankets. And in this 24-hour period, when I sleep, I would find the comfiest mattress I could in a mattress store. And I'd like, Princess and the Pea the situation until I found the perfect one. And that's when I would sleep. I'd take a long 12-hour. I would waste half of this time
Wouldn't that ruin you for beds in the future, don't you think? Oh,
it's,
man.
Does a delicious meal ruin...
That's true.
A microwave, you know, whatever?
Good
no?
Brilliant.
Leftovers? I would absolutely do that. And then I think I would go to, like, a micro center or something, and I would just, like, set up shop in the middle of an aisle and just build the best fucking computer I could build.
That's amazing.
I'd be like, time to build a $3,500 computer, and then, like, walk out with it under my arm, probably, and, you know, go home and set up and up. But that'd be just such a... And I have a computer building kind of a ritual that I, when I build a new computer, I watch Johnny Mnemonic in the background.
Nice.
Just because it's the perfect background nonsense movie when you're building a computer. And so I'd
watch that movie more than once.
Bring a copy of Johnny Mnemonic with me to Micro Center, pop it in, and watch the movie while I built myself a computer, and then go home. And
yeah.
It would just be such a good solitary task.
Yeah.
And the perfect place to do it. I'd have every tool and every cable and every little thing could be just perfect. And then I'd get a super great nap.
I'm learning so much about you guys.
Okay, so you already mentioned this, Tony, but I would have to, absolutely, if I can stop the clock for 24 hours, I would absolutely rob a bank. Because here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If the vault's open, right, and I can go into the vault and I can take that money, the only thing that happens in that situation is the bank gets the money back because they're insured.
Yeah.
So I'm not stealing money from any individual.
Please pick Wells Fargo.
Right? Absolutely.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah. I might do it because, so I would have a big pile of cash that nobody would know about.
That's true.
And that would be great. And that would not take much of my 24 hours.
Would you tell Pat?
Oh, sure.
Of course.
She can't justify against you.
Yeah. I got to throw it. I, too, would rob a bank. I just, at this point, like, there's no reason
not to.
Atheists don't have morals.
Don't tell me a Christian wouldn't do that, too.
Me and the goats would go rob people, so
The only difference is a Christian would do that.
I would take $20 out of every wallet.
The only difference
You're the socialist thief.
The only difference is that a Christian would do that and give 10% to the church. But anyway, that's true.
Sure he would.
So then, because given what's going on currently in this country, I feel I would have in that 24 hours enough time to put Donald Trump in an extremely compromising position.
Oh, yeah.
That's genius.
In front of cameras that he could not explain away.
Dick out, belt around the neck. Lube, cocaine.
Oh, and then
what
just
else?
Like a shitload of gay porn.
Oh, no, even better. Put him in a mosque. Put him all Muslimy.
And I mean,
put him all Muslimy.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be good.
Wow.
I think.
Oh my God.
People would lose their shit.
I think, and
they wouldn't believe that though. It'd have to be a sex thing.
It's very difficult for me to put a woman in a compromising position, but if I knew she wasn't actually being raped, if I could.
Jesus, Tim.
Wow, did this go dark?
That's
holy
terrible,
crap, guys.
I don't think I could do that.
You can buy one of my goats.
The goat won't matter
as long as he doesn't actually like do anything to the goat. The goat's just there, and the goat could be wearing like a sex costume.
Yeah. So anyway, that
you can take Ginger. She likes sex costumes.
I feel that would. Really
I've named the goats.
It would be a great benefit to society, I think, if I could do that.
Okay.
I would do it 2 days before the election, so there isn't enough time
for
anybody
else. I'm sorry
to do this,
but I feel the need to change one of my answers about the two things I like about myself, because I'm sitting here thinking and I feel like an idiot. I don't really care that I give advice to people, and it's really disingenuous to say that I like that about myself, because I don't really care about it. I think the thing that I neglected to say is that I'm nothing really... I'm not afraid of anything. Like, I'm always willing to put myself out physically. So, like I was thinking about shows that we do and everything. Like, I lick everything. I fall down. I jump. Yeah. I will do anything. Like, someone wants something done, I'll do it. So, like, I think that... I think that's better than giving people advice because I don't really care about them.
Tim, you're touching the cable, man. Don't do that. This is what happened last time.
No.
Okay, my last one is just going to be a short little thing. If you had to eat a single food for a week...
Ooh.
Every meal, every snack.
If I say pizza, does that mean I can get a variety of pizzas, or is it the single type of...
No, we're on the same board here. This is... Because my answer would be pizza.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was a pizza delivery guy for 4 months in Denver. Pizza bug. I literally ate pizza every day for 4 months.
That's what you do when you're a driver.
I never got tired of it, and I still to this day love pizza. It's a perfect food. But
I've been a pizza delivery driver or cook or whatever for, I think, in some total of over a year, and I love pizza. Yeah, but that's not my answer, so.
Yeah, mine would be pizza.
Can I say good sushi?
You can.
Ooh,
like, because sushi is such a variety of flavors and food and ingredients. Mm-hmm. It covers a lot of bases. I mean, it includes like sashimi and
to be clear, we live in a landlocked state, which means we really don't have good sushi.
No, that's not true. We've got some decent sushi.
Yeah,
Shogun in Burnsville is not too bad.
All right.
I feel like I could eat sushi for a week and not get sick of it pretty easily. I mean, like, pizza is really tempting to say, because fuck, who doesn't love pizza anytime? Like, you could be totally full and someone's like, hey, do you want some pizza? Be like, I can have a bite.
Yeah.
Dungeness crab.
Really?
Ooh, yeah.
Dungeness
crab. Specifically Dungeness crab. That's what I would want. Some in a variety of boils, but Dungeness crab, I would eat that.
I could eat that
every day for longer than a week. It's one of my favorite things in the whole world, and it's really hard to get up here, and it's really expensive when you can find it, so it's what I would
do. It's so much work.
I'm really good at it.
Really?
She pulls out full sticks of crab leg meat every time.
I worked at a crab shack and I got taught how to do it, so it's all about the joints.
I like the fact that we're recording this and they're all doing hand gestures.
Yeah, we always do. Not a lot of gesturing.
Like this one.
Yeah, my answer is simple. It would be salad. I just love salad.
Mm.
Although, to be fair, it would probably be salad dressing, since salad is pretty much just a dressing transportation device.
Yeah.
You and Nick are on the same page with that.
Yeah. But
I like a dry salad.
But I love salad. I could eat salad all day.
That's a close second for me. I almost went with that, but I figured you were gonna guess it, so I didn't say it.
Time's moving over at Tim's house and he's making a salad. He has like an entire drawer,
it's like a mixing bowl
of his fridge. That is dedicated just to salad ingredients.
Wow.
And so when he's making a salad, he like pulls it out and sets it on the counter and does like a big mixing bowl and does like 8 different dressings and a billion different toppings. And
it's amazing.
Like, it's like a salad with regions.
Could you invite me over next year?
It's crazy. Like Tim when makes a salad, he goes.
I take salad seriously.
It's Mad fucking
props.
Impressive.
I do.
Awesome. Right. Well, that was 5 questions.
Whoa.
Thank you so much. This is our final trailer recording and our final recording with you for until next year. Tony, thank you so much for recapturing the magic, which I think we did quite well. And
we did.
For giving us your time and your attention, as always. You are a good friend and a wonderful guest. So.
And we will miss you while you're on the road.
I'll miss you guys. You guys are fun.
But having you on the road, you and Ron and Byron, you know, the fact you're on the road makes it so much nicer when we get to see you when you're back in town.
We see y'all on the internets.
Yeah. We've been Geeks Without God. You can find us at the Renaissance Festival. I guess I don't know when this is going up, so we may not have maybe over.
The festival's gonna be over.
It's over.
It'll be over.
Fuck you. You missed it.
You guys missed it.
Sons yes, you missed Twig because she's done. So bye. Yeah fuckers. Anyway.
Jesus.
Sorry, I got real angry there.
You will never see Twig again except in advertisements for the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
So thank you very much. We're going into all kinds of fun stuff. It's gonna be October. We'll have a new show coming out. We have a show we're going to be doing in mid-October.
October 15th, live show with Sharon Steitler.
Yep, October 15th, live at the Phoenix Theater. You can come. That's going to be an afternoon show.
Yeah.
And we'll have details for that up real soon. We really appreciate you guys listening to us, as always. Follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter.
Patreon.
Yeah. You could join us on Patreon and donate some money to us there. You can listen to this hilarious episode we recorded before with all the robot vomit and fun noises. So
that's right. If you're a Patreon supporter, you get to listen. Whatever it is. Jesus.
Bye.
Jesus.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you later. Bye. We recaptured the magic like the Renaissance Festival does.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
I like the robot vomit.